You're listening to Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Ender, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely, and Brian Gilby.
And you are listening to Fanboy Versus. This week it is Fanboy Versus San Diego Comic-Con, as we are going to have tons of news coming out of that. It's pretty much the whole show. I'm JD, and with here with Brian Kilby, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely. Melissa is under the weather, won't be joining us today. But we've got tons of news coming out of Comic-Con. We are also streaming live, and thank you for joining us for those of you who are here at tfradio.net/live. Thanks for joining us for this huge show. Of course, this is just big. But so we're going to run down some of the news, some of the bits that we've seen out of Comic-Con. We'll be talking about those. And we do have news coming in as well as we are recording live. The JLA, JSA, DC panel is going to be going on. So I'll hit some highlights out of that as we're talking. So let's get to it. And this is in no particular order of things that are going on. So don't even try to discern where we're at with this. First up, I think one of the most cryptic statements that I've heard is this JMS comparing Wonder Woman to Schrodinger's cat. And I don't know that we really have any more context than that.
He was just describing. What I read was he said that she's going to be thinking back or having visions of herself in the other costume. So apparently she can exist in, you know, both states, which is the whole point of Schrodinger's cat. It's in a state of flux. Neither, you know, the cat's neither dead or alive.
Right. So is that how she can be like a classic Wonder Woman in like Justice League America, but in her own book she's still going to be in the crappy new suit?
Yeah.
It sounds like that's the way he's going. It's like he doesn't want to say it's an alt-verse, but, you know, like an Elseworlds, but it is. Because, I mean, I think the ultimate answer is going to be that this is not going to end up being
He doesn't primary. Want to say that he's wasting your time, but he is.
But he is wasting our time.
As long as you enjoy free, is he really wasting your time?
No, and that's, and so that's why it's like I'm not so concerned about it. I just kind of thought, you know, that is funny, and I think you're absolutely right, Brian. I mean, it is basically saying that she's existing in both worlds at the same time. So, you know, I think it's just a keen way of saying it's an Elseworlds and that it ultimately won't be affecting both.
You know,
but
how
if it's
you
good
can
stories.
Tell if something actually is an Elseworlds, you put the Elseworlds logo on the comic. That's what they used to do.
They take that back.
Yeah, and then they take it back.
Elseworlds seems like kind of a strong way of describing it, but this is basically how I figured it was going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that fits exactly in with like your prediction and the discussion from a few weeks ago or last week, where we were saying that, you know, it's going to go back. So, but speaking of the Wonder Woman costume, JMS's response was to give him 2 issues, and that when you see the jacket come off, that means she's going to kick some ass. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Take his word for it.
Right.
Is it going back to that?
The what?
The Kung Fu Woman from the 70s.
Wonder Woman always kicked ass.
Yeah.
She looks like she's street smart because, like, in the first issue, she's beating up some dudes in a street. So maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And again, don't even try to discern an order out of this. One of the bits that came out of the Avengers panel is that they were talking about what they're going to be doing with Red Hulk, and there's a mention that they are going to be using Red Hulk, and he's going to be joining the Avengers.
I might be wrong, but isn't the Red Hulk a bad guy?
No. Yes.
Not in his own eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why is he on the Avengers?
Who knows?
Because they want to put the characters. Now that the character isn't a mystery anymore, they have to whore him out as much as possible so that the people will keep their air quotes, interest in him.
So is the Red Hulk going to be the new Sentry? He's going to be the guy that we don't want.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as we can axe him, then yeah, that'd be great.
This just made me face so hard. I mean, I'm not being negative about I've heard a lot of good news out of San Diego. I think we've just started from the wrong end of it because this made me face palm so hard. I don't want this. Words cannot. Normally, if I hear something, I'll be like, oh, well, I'll see how it goes. No, I do not want this.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know who wants it, honestly. Who's even so rated Hulk at this point?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know who clamored for this because it's, yeah. Anyway.
This is, as far as I can see, this is an editorial, or I can't see this being anything other than an editorial thing.
Well, and also, too, I mean, with
Red Hulk's not a mystery anymore. Now you have to find some new way of making him interesting. Put him on the Avengers? All right, Grant. Waiting for Deadpool to join the Avengers at this point.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Well, Avengers are going all over the place, too. Because they are talking about, like, Galactus, I think, is in an upcoming issue. I mean, they're doing this
Galactus belongs in the Fantastic Four. Bendis, get your head on straight. We'll come to this week's Avengers later.
Yeah. So, well, just
when the Avengers don't fight Apocalypse.
Yeah.
No.
The Avengers don't fight Galactus.
Yeah, what's up with, I don't know. It's this whole splintered time stream thing that they're trying to do.
Anyway.
Yeah. So just when you thought Norman Osborn was out of your life, they're actually going to be doing a Norman Osborn miniseries from jail. Let's go to prison with
this.
That is an excellent question. Let me find that for you. I'll pull that up for you in just a second.
Am I misremembering? Was it Brian Azzarello that did the Lex Luthor Man of Steel mini from?
I think so. Yeah.
I
pointed myself there. It's Kelly Sue DeComic.
Yeah, Kelly. Yeah.
I might buy that actually. Yeah. I'm not particularly familiar with Kelly Sue DeConnick's work, but if Age of Heroes, this is a complete coincidence, but if Age of Heroes number 3 from this week is anything to go by, I should really be reading more of things by Kelly Sue DeConnick. And I think we need the story of Norman's full fall as well, given how much of a damp squib Siege was. So I'm not opposed to this notion.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it seemed like we were almost rid of Norman Osborn. And now we're going to have to...
Are we ever rid of Norman Osborn?
No, we're never rid of Norman Osborn. So let's see. So a couple of things, of course, and I kind of was paying attention to the Spider-Man panel, so we got a little bit of Spider-Man news here. First up, Dan Slott is going to be taking over Spider-Man. Now, I know what you're going to say. He's already on Spider-Man. Yes, I know. But he's actually going to be taking over all of the writing for Amazing Spider-Man. Apparently, it's going to become twice monthly with $3.99 an issue. Yay. But he's going to be doing all the writing. They'll be changing out artists. And supposedly out of that storyline, Pete's going to be getting his what they're calling his dream job. They didn't really say what that was, but... and apparently he's going to have more costumes and more gadgets.
What?
Slingers 2.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And there was a teaser image of him in a black costume with some green lighting on it. Fighting Hobgoblin.
Spy suit?
I guess. Yeah, it was... I don't know. Let me see that image. Is so. See if you can find that McFeely. It
sounds
pretty...
like Tony Stark's going to be bankrolling him again, giving him spider armor.
Can we get more spider buggies? I want another spider.
I know. I need a spider.
So they can end up in the bay or something. Is that what you're wanting?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm seeing this black costume with the green lights. I don't know what's going on there. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hobgoblin black too. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so now this will be the height of what Slott will be producing, won't it? This will be – Slott's always said that he has a two-book-a-month limit to be able to maintain his quality level. So this would – is this it then? Because he's not doing anything else now, is he? Mighty yeah. Avengers is wrapped. So it'll be two Spideys. Well, I'm not averse to him taking it over fully, and I think dialing back on the number of Spidey issues a month is probably a strong idea overall, if they can try and consolidate the brand, because it's proven that it's been very much in the pudding that Spidey can't support spin-off books right now, with Web ending and the Presents minis not really doing anything on the sales charts. So if they can consolidate and strengthen the brand again, and with Slott on it, that sounds like a good step. I just don't see what they're thinking putting the price up.
They're thinking money.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know.
If there's going to be more content, you know, that's great. No, but it's a common complaint I see is that, yeah, okay, more content. I'm still getting what I'm paying for, but I'm not getting... Unless every issue is going to be a 30 page lead story, these backups that they're using as an excuse to raise the price.
Well, and
are another thing entirely.
And that it's an excellent point.
Sorry.
I said that's an excellent point because they did mention that for the new Spider-Woman series, that the whole Aranya thing was going to be in a backup, which almost guarantees that there are going to be backups in there, which if the backups are part of the 30-page count, you know...
And they are.
Which they are, obviously, yeah, they which are. They're going to be, then you're not really getting more
if it's
comic.
Something key... I mean, it's one thing if it's a good, strong backup that's actually telling a related story on its own. I don't object to the Nomad backups in Captain America because I like that character. I would want to see more from her. It's a logical place to put her, but it, you know, if they're just going to sling in, it's like this little Kane and Kraven crossover mini backup, which is completely pointless except to bulk up the issue and allow them to charge more for it. I'm not tear it all down right now because we'll see what the contents of the issues are when it happens. And yeah. If it's going to be a regular monthly Slott book as well, I think there's actually a lot more chance that I'll finally jump on to Spidey regularly and properly with this.
I'm going to jump
I
just want to say this. One thing I like about this is that it should hopefully create some consistency in the book instead of wondering which week Spider-Man comes out. Oh, it's this week. Okay, go check.
Well, it's 3 weeks out of the month right now, so you know if it's not out 1 week, then you know it's definitely out next week.
Yeah,
I kind of like that. Like, it's like, oh, this week it's not out, but that means next week it will be. I kind of like knowing that. It's like, oh God, there's gonna be something to read next week. Awesome. But no, what I was gonna say is that I like Slott, and I'm glad that he's gonna be doing the book, you know, like all the time now. But I'm gonna kind of miss, you know, getting, like, you know, different writers coming in and just doing, like, their different take on Spidey, like Mark Waid or Joe Kelly or just, you know, whoever, you know. That was good.
I like that they're still going to have some rotating artists, though, because anything that gets Spidey, like, Amazing Spidey has been one of the most artistically strong books just out there recently. So I'm glad to see that we'll still continue to see a rotating team of strong artists on that book. Anything that gets Marcos Martin more work is...
It's probably just too much for me to ask, but I really would wish John Romita Jr. would come back to the book. But
yeah.
John Romita Jr. and Dan Slott every 2 weeks, which... Romita could do it. He could pull it off.
Yeah.
God, it would be so awesome.
And supposedly there was a comment about if you like Ben Reilly, play Shattered Dimension. So I guess he's going to be making some sort of appearance in that game, which
just
is not necessarily
the fourth
shocking.
Dimension of the game revealed as well, haven't we?
Yeah, that was announced at Comic-Con as well. We kind of talked about that on our live show yesterday, but it's worth mentioning least. So, not really.
It was so disappointing.
Yeah, if you haven't heard,
such,
it's going to be
such a waste.
It's Ultimate Spidey, but it's Ultimate Spidey with a symbiote, which is confusing and weird. But
I hear the phone sound in my head as you say that.
Yeah, it's just
Speculated that Ultimate could have been it, but we said it'd be because it was too similar, so obviously they're adding the symbiote to distinguish it. But you know what? 1602.
That would be
I don't know if I'd want 1602. I was wanting Spider-Ham. Spider-Ham. Give me something.
That'll be awesome if there was a bonus level with the Spider-Ham or something. I don't think we could ever have expected a full world of Spider-Ham.
Yeah, we were going to get that, but I wanted just something that would be radically different. And yeah, even 1602 would have been radically different. But again, 1602 would have been a lot like Noir, wouldn't it? It would just be like Spider-Man and just a different...
Well, the idea with the Noir is that the gameplay mechanic of the Noir universe is specifically that it's a stealth-style series of levels.
It's like
so that's what's distinguishing it there. Yeah. So there may be something, you know, they could definitely do something different with 16-2. I mean, I don't know what, but it's got to be more interesting than the Ultimate Universe. But I see the Ultimate Universe has Deadpool in it, because heaven knows Deadpool needs more promotion. This might be the only video game he appears in this week.
In fairness to Ultimate Deadpool, he's really not much like primary Deadpool. I think
is virtually identical.
His costume is identical. I think character-wise, though, he's supposed to be like much more sedated. I think he's just.
I don't know. Does he make jokes and shoot at you? I think he does.
I don't think so.
They're trading on the Deadpool names.
Yeah. So I want to go back.
They're going to want to hurry up and get that game out before the Deadpool bubble bursts, because going to burst soon.
Much like the mortgage market in the U.S., that's destined for sadness. So this week, as a part of Comic-Con, we had released what they're calling a teaser for the Brightest Day ongoing series, an event. And I assume everybody has seen this. We've all seen this image. And supposedly, I mean, it's been described as like the sailboat picture from Mallrats. That, you know, if you look at it just right, you can see what's actually there. What do you guys think of this?
This is the black and white picture that's at the end of...
There's a full color version. Actually, there's a really high resolution.
Do you have a link for it, maybe?
Full image. I don't handy, but I can find it.
Well, I've seen the black and white one, so I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen the full color.
The full color and the larger image one is better.
They've been appearing in this week's DC books.
I've seen that some of them are having the two-page spread with the... with the color. There's a two-page spread. If y'all have Time Masters, there's a two-page spread in there.
I don't, but it's in some stuff anyway.
It's in some other stuff.
I reckon it can blow me anyway.
Really? Okay.
Because it's a lovely image, but I was really sick of these oblique double page air quotes. I'm going to do a lot of air quotes today because I'm feeling sucky. Air quotes hints at things that I don't even really believe were real hints. Everyone touching the ground will die. Wonder Woman's shield being symbolic of Amazon's attack, and the broken arrow means something.
Right.
I think it's a load of pretentious cock, and I was really happy that they hadn't done them for a while. And it's not an indictment of Brightest Day or anything like that. I just think the ad is really just the idea is so far up its own ass. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was worth mentioning anyway. but I think that pretty much says it all.
My thoughts are not the thoughts of others.
Results may vary.
Yes.
In other Gail Simone news, it looks like we're going to have what I'm going to call a semi-Secret Six Birds of Prey crossover with Huntress and Catman. Supposedly events of that story taking place, some in Secret Six and then some in Birds of Prey.
Is it just sort of going to be some kind of, but is it, when you say semi, it's not like going to be part one in Secret Six, part one in Birds of Prey. It's just...
Yeah, I think it may be that you'll get bits of one story in one and then bits of the story in the other. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a full, like, part one, part two. So, yeah, I mean, but it'll at least, you know, bridge both of Gail Simone's titles. So, and apparently the JLVI is going to be fighting Metal Men, so...
All right.
There's Yay. That. And then a couple of notes out of DC. The one, another JMS description. I love JMS's descriptions of his stuff. He's describing Grounded as putting Superman in situations where he can't punch his way out.
Yep. Wasn't that everybody's problem with the movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my problem with the newest issue of Superman.
I suppose, really, though, this is the exception to the rule in the comics, whereas it is the rule in the films. And I do enjoyed the first part of Grounded, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate Superman. I don't know if I've mentioned that.
See, you just put stories like that on there just so you can talk bad about Superman, right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I can't.
I outed you.
I can't deny that. any time I can mention Superman, I can say that I hate him. And so, there you go. I think I secretly like Superman, but I just don't want to
love
admit it.
Him.
I don't really love him. Love is a very strong word, sir.
I think he secretly loved Chloe Sullivan from Smallville, because you mentioned that she's going to be in the DC Universe now.
I thought that was noteworthy, that they are going to bring that character into the primary DC Universe.
Weren't they going to do this like 5 years ago or something?
Yeah, they kept talking about it years ago. It took them bloody long enough. It wouldn't be surprised if they bottle out this time.
They even said it was going to like happen in like an issue of Action Comics that came out something like 5 years ago, but it didn't.
They substituted with Cat Grant, was it? Did they bring Cat back instead of using Chloe or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
she was going to come back, and then they chickened out of it for some reason. Well, chickened is the wrong word. There's probably a reason for it, but
so. But yeah, I mean, you know but
wait until Smallville stopped being relevant before you did it, guys.
I know, because this is the last season of Smallville. But hey, I'm very excited, and I might have to actually watch some of Smallville, because the Jaime Blue Beetle and Booster Gold are going to be in this season of Smallville. Yes.
I will watch.
Yeah, so they're going to have an episode,
If they don't wear costumes, it can go and spin on it, but if they wear costumes, I'll watch it.
Yeah, because this
Booster Gold wearing some kind of blue sports jacket with a gold B on the back or something hilariously modern like that. Well, I want him to travel back in time from the future in a costume.
It's like Booster Gold will just have sunglasses and just like a jacket or something.
Jacket. I tried to watch.
Ooh, Skeets will be an iPhone. Oh my God, I just called it.
There you go.
It'll talk.
God.
You know what, actually? Now that I've actually said it out loud, though, the idea of Booster wearing the football, the letter jacket, actually kind of really works because he's a football player. So
yeah.
Not actually that bad a thing. It's the Skeets thing is the problem.
Yeah. Now Skeets...
As long as Jaime gets to wear the armor.
Yeah, and Skeets is supposed to be there. And there is supposed to be some mention about him being a legacy Blue Beetle. So opening up the possibility that at some point, Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. But the series is ending, so whatever that means. I mean,
Smallville is ending.
Yeah,
this is the last season.
Be the last season.
Yeah.
God.
But apparently, he is going to be in the Superman costume, which is supposed to be very close to the Superman Returns.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I mean, they were talking it up. I mean, they were saying, like, this is definitive, this is it, he is going to be...
Yeah, they say a lot of things.
Well, okay.
Wait.
Pardon my lack of confidence in Smallville.
Yeah. But, you know, what do they got to lose? It's last season, so... You know.
They certainly don't have any dignity left to preserve.
No.
Man, I'm being really bitchy.
You're kind of... Jeez,
we got any good news?
Jonathan Hickman's on Ultimate Thor.
Yeah, he is.
But it's Ultimate Thor.
There's an Ultimate Thor comic.
It's going to be a mini series later this year. I mean, I saw there's, I read Ultimate Thor miniseries, and my immediate reaction was another, because there are like three or four Thor miniseries coming out in the next couple of months in movie run up, and then it was like Jonathan Hickman on Ultimate Thor. That's bought.
Because well, they just put him on regular Thor. I'd buy that.
Because Matt Fraction's going to be on that, and that's going to kick ass. Thor, it's going to be a good time to be reading Thor comics. Assuming that these assorted minis and spin-offs and things prove good, but let's just say it'll at least two of them will be. Yeah, that made me happy. That was like the first bit of news I heard, and I was like, yeah, here we go.
Ultimate Doom. And we third part of the Ultimate Enemy trilogy.
Yeah, Bendis has been doing these. We just finished Ultimate Enemy. Ultimate Mystery kicks off, I believe. It might even be next week, maybe next month. And then Ultimate Doom is going to be the third part of the trilogy. I wonder who the mystery villain could be. He might recover from that head crushing thing gave him.
And let's see. New Captain Minis, Mark Wade, Man Out of Time.
Even more than there are Thor Minis, I think.
Yeah. Well, and they're... apparently, they're, Bucky's going to be on trial. What the hell is up with that?
Yes, this is the story of the where Cap's going, where the book itself is going. He's going to be answering for the crimes he committed as the Winter Soldier.
Oh.
Mm.
Interesting stuff.
So, that's how they're going to get him out.
Yes.
I hope so.
There you go. He's going to have to go to prison. He'll be cellmates with Norman Osborn, so.
Ooh, new a sequel mini.
And it'll be, and it'll be like the Odd Couple. Norman Osborn and Bucky together in prison. So
I have a title for it, but it's not coming.
No. It's like an Odd Couple, really. It's sort of...
That's my goblin.
Oh, man. The laugh track and everything. So last week we talked about images that had come out for Thor, and we talked about the 40-year-old Virgin Odin image, and we had the whole discussion. I just love calling it that. But we had the discussion about the lack of hats. That there was a need for funny hats. And we have been blessed with hats.
Blessed is too small a word.
Is it?
It's glorious. Yeah. Bonnets.
I mean,
it was like the day after we discussed it.
Yep.
Then that newspaper clipping went up that showed from a great distance that Loki and Odin would have their hats. And then we were all like, well, where's Thor's hat? Thor's hat and all those other great hats were in a cabinet at SDCC.
Yes.
Hats.
It looks pretty good.
When you talked of Thor hats, I was thinking, does that mean we're going to get, like, Thor hats? As in, like, you know, plastic hats, you know, when the movie comes out or something?
Oh, you know we are.
Maybe they were awesome or something?
Some kind of Thor voice changer helmet, and it's just this awesome hat, and you push the button on the side, and it's like, buy my father's beard!
Yeah, I want that.
By Heimdall's eyes.
In my Nerf Mjolnir helmet, a hammer, so I can hit my brother with.
I'm telling you, I can't wait.
You know we're gonna get a foam hammer that you're gonna be able to smash the things that's gonna make noises. There's no way that's not.
It'll make light. Might make lightning noises.
God, I can't wait, though. I'm telling you, man. That first news story where some kid bludgeons his brother to death.
Oh God!
I don't know, the Indiana Jones whip, nice and safe. I think they could make a nice, soft, safe Thor mallet. Probably have a plastic handle with the batteries in it and a big foam head. And then when you strike it, like probably there may be a light in the handle and it'll flash blue or something. And
yes,
Thor Asgard.
Dude, day one purchase. I will own a Thor hammer.
I'm just waiting to see the kids also that, like, break their noses as they try to throw the hammer and fly behind it. That'll be awesome.
There's nothing to hear or see about this movie at this point now that doesn't make me happier about it.
It looks
good.
Every time
I say, is X going to be in it, or what will Y like be like, I get my answer a few days later, and it's awesome. Do we see that picture of Chris Hemsworth trying to pick up Mjolnir this week?
Yeah, very, very sword in the stone.
You see the size of any allegations of padded costumes retracted?
Yeah.
That dude is huge. Yeah, he's God.
Yeah.
Take he's kind of scary. Show. So,
oh,
yeah,
God.
I'm a little excited about the Thor film. With that, yeah.
Rocket Raccoon and Groot miniseries?
Yeah.
What?
What is that?
I haven't been reading the cosmic books or anything, but I might pick this one up purely on the idiocy of the concept.
Okay.
Rocket Raccoon is a little spacefaring raccoon, and Groot is an old Golden Age monster who looks like a giant tree. And I believe they've both been appearing in Guardians of the Galaxy, and Abnett and Lanning are giving them a miniseries together with Mike Mignola on the covers.
Ooh. That's cool.
Raccoon plus tree equals hilarity.
Yeah. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? And in news straight out of, like, 1955, the JLA is going to be fighting the crime syndicate.
Is that, I mean, what kind
in
of news?
Comics?
Yeah, I mean, know. Comics? Or...
Yeah, in comics. Yeah, it's going to be, yeah, it's actually issue 50.
They do that, what, every 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just did it in Trinity. It was just part of the core plot of Trinity last year, so.
Yeah. No, and apparently Damian's going to be in Titans, so there you go.
He's going to be in Teen Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
What's going to what?
Damian.
Oh, yeah, well, they're... that's not illogical.
There, I think one of my favorite comments from earlier I was reading, and I didn't make it into the news items, but I'll kind of mention it. They were talking to Grant Morrison, and they were, of course, everybody's concerned about what's going to happen to Dick Grayson after the whole line. And there have even been some cryptic answers which almost make me not want to believe it, but think that they're actually killing him off.
Grant Morrison, cryptic.
Yeah, I know. But
well,
some
he
other
tried to once.
Some other writers said that as well, though. They made some comments that, you know, Dick was going to be around unless he was dead or something. So,
they could do that.
Well, I don't know. Grant Morrison's comment was that he loved Dick Grayson, and that's why he put a bullet in his head.
God.
Okay.
So
I can't believe that.
I don't know. So that was yeah.
Well, you know, they tried to kill him off back at with Infinite Crisis, didn't they?
Yeah, they
that was the original ending. Yeah. That was going to be the original ending, and then like they flinched before they did it, and they said, "Oh, he's not
good
dead."
Boy, instead.
So.
Which I think
I, don't know.
I think killing Hunter off was the right decision.
Yeah, yeah.
It had a huge emotional impact.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
it
when
made
they brought
Superboy's
him back,
return that much better. God, that was awesome.
It was awesome. You know what else is awesome?
What's that?
I'm worried JD's going to skip this in the news rundown. Year One, DC.
I know. I was just about to mention that. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so, that is pretty badass.
Yeah, that's like that and Dark Knight Returns. Those are like the two things that justify the existence of the DC animated features to me. Otherwise,
and it's a Batman story, which means it will sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But it's one of the stories that I really wanted to see.
Even though we've kind of already gotten
should
one
be
happening.
Turning into movies.
Yeah.
Even though we've kind of already gotten our Batman Year One, it was Mask of Phantasm.
Yeah. But this is not the DCAU, you know.
Yeah.
Batman Begins, sorry. That was it also had touches of
I mean, this is, I mean, you know, I mean, it's nice that it's being made, but ultimately, I mean, this is very much a story that has been told in at least three mediums.
Yeah, that's why I was, like, saying yesterday when we're doing the huge, you know, feed of Comic-Con, you know, why haven't they even tried to do, like, a Dark Knight Returns yet? Because it kind of seems like
that's a very logical choice.
I mean, that's, like, the one that you would think that they would have done, like, first.
I want to see Dark Knight done as a movie, but I would want to see it done as an animated movie. But I really think as long as Year One is a transcription of the comic instead of an adaptation, if they actually attempt to like copy it to animation. That's what I want. You know, we've gotten Batman's origin and we've gotten Shades of Year One, but if they actually take the Frank Miller comic and animate it, you know, so to speak, that's what I want. So,
well, that's basically what they did with the Red Hood.
So
I think it's within the realm of possibility.
Yes.
And so other thing, and then speaking of Red Hood, we're going to talk about that here in just a second. I think the last bit that we had on here is the Avengers cartoon trailer. So how was that?
That looked wicked cool.
It does look cool. I mean, the animation looks good. It looks like they're actually putting effort into it. It's just that, what did you say, McPhilly? You wanted to slit your wrists after the song came up?
I could respond to the show. Yeah, I had to just make sure I had my wrists good and slipped after I painted mascara on while listening to that theme music.
You know, it's no Superhero Squad.
No.
It's not even the Spectacular Spider-Man.
No, it's not. I missed it.
Marvel haven't exactly had the best track record of theme musics for their new cartoons the last little while. Spectacular Spider-Man and Iron Man managed to grow on me through their general genericness, but I can't see this yowling growing on me at all. They rhymed one with one.
That is an excellent point. So
it seemed like it was so it was because it had that horrible emo drawl to it, and then it started chanting about the Avengers assembling, and there's a real cognitive dissonance in that theme music.
And but I think it's fantastic that the Avengers are going to fight Brainiac. I mean, that looked awesome.
Oh God! So
I didn't realize that was coming as soon as it is too.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Because it's the, I mean, being honest, the entire animation panel appeared to be about Superhero Squad. Now, I don't mind Superhero Squad. I know there's a lot of people seem to bitch an awful lot about it, which seems like an exercise in missing the point to me when it comes to Superhero Squad. I've watched a chunk of Superhero Squad, and it's amusing, but why are we not hearing more about this awesome-looking Avengers cartoon? Instead, you're just running down the fact that you've got, I don't know, somebody from a popular sci-fi series that's since been cancelled doing a voice of some obscure Marvel character that you've dug up to put in Superhero Squad. That's a very generic summary, but there are examples. I'm sure if you looked, you would find something that fits into that perfectly, but I don't know who exactly. You seem to put an awful lot of focus on weird guest voices for Superhero Squad, which seems like, again, cognitive dissonance. Whenever it's a show that is very specifically aimed at young audiences, there is very little in Superhero Squad that makes the older fan chuckle on anything more than the same level as it would make a younger audience member chuckling. You know, there's no in-jokes for older fans. It's not like Batman Brave and the Bold. There's no in-jokes. There's nothing there to really appreciate for older fans. They sneak one or two things in every now and again, but then every time I spot one, they seem to run the joke into the ground for some reason, just to make the joke be funny on two levels. And it's just like, stop saying Joe Quesada's name like it was a cheese. That's a real joke from one episode.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not gonna. Yeah, Superhero Squad is fine, but you know, you've managed to cease production on two of the three good cartoons you actually had working there after a long dry spell. So maybe draw some attention towards the one good show that you look like you really have coming up. Where's my? Tell me something about season two of Iron Man.
No. No.
Young people today with their hip hop and their compact discs.
Do people even have compact discs anymore? I don't think so.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think young people use those, though.
Oh.
They're pierced ears.
We're old. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this. But speaking of animation, let's talk about something that's coming out under the Red Hood.
Yes.
Okay.
So, what did we think?
It was highly enjoyable.
I agree.
I would say that after Kevin Conroy, this is probably my second favorite, and Brave and the Bold, because I do love Brave and the Bold. This is my third favorite Batman we've seen in animated form.
I don't know who this guy is offhand, but I think maybe his voice work was that he sounded like Kevin Conroy sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. It's the guy that played Captain Pike in the new Star Trek movie.
Oh,
Greenwood.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
I think he's doing Batman's voice in Young Justice as well.
Oh, he is?
Excellent.
I heard that.
Cool. That'll be good.
They totally nailed the character of Batman, though. That's what I liked about it. It's like, oh, wow, this is Batman pulled from the comic and animated form. That's pretty awesome, actually.
I was
impressed that they found a way to make the story work as a film. Because I think, you know, when we heard this was the story they were going to do, I know I did. I'm sure plenty of people must have thought, how do you do this mystery story as an isolated film whenever the majority of the casual audience won't understand who Jason Todd is? So how do you introduce Jason Todd in the film and make it be a mystery whenever it's going to be patently obvious that the dude getting beaten to death in the first 5 minutes is going to be the Red Hood? Because, I mean, I assume that they would do Death in the Family as, like, the pre-credits sequence, and hey, they did.
Exactly.
But I like the fact that they didn't bother playing it as a mystery.
Yeah, they just sort of did away with it.
Well, it was probably not a mystery in the comic either.
Well, everybody was like, holy crap, look, Jason Todd's alive, you know?
I mean, after Jeff Loeb blew his load in the next to last issue of Hush, the Hush story, when the Red Hood just appeared to show up in the Judd Winnick book, it's like, oh, this will be Jason Todd.
Yeah, but that was a conclusion reached by the mind of the fan who'd seen this coming. They still built the story as a mystery and built to the off comes the mask moment where it's like, oh crap, it actually was Jason. But it just wasn't a viable way to tell the story, and I was genuinely concerned as to how they were going to make the story worth telling if they had to basically give the ending away in the first 5 minutes, and they made it work.
They totally did.
Yeah.
I liked it better than the comic, actually.
Yeah,
they actually, the way that they did, the way he came back, because like in the comic, it's what, is it an effect from Infinite Crisis?
Superboy reality punch.
Yeah, the reality punch, but you know, I like how it's Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul is like, I took something from him, this shouldn't have happened, and I'm going to fix this. I like that. I thought that works a whole lot better.
Now, I haven't read the original comic story properly, but weren't the Lazarus Pits, like, sort of built into the story anyway? And then they said, no, actually, Superboy, a little later. Maybe it was after the story and they were starting to do some sort of explanation into how it happened and they started to hint at Lazarus Pits or something.
I seem to remember, like, an issue that had a panel that showed him actually buried and in the ground, and then at the event when the punch happens, it shows him just sort of wake up and come back to life, and he has to dig his way out.
I don't remember because I didn't read it properly. It's like not that the story, just that the mention was made of Lazarus Pitts as a red herring almost.
Yeah.
The comic is
very, I think, very confusing.
Yeah. I thought the reality punch was an editorial thing to tie it into Infinite Crisis whenever they probably intended in the comics to use, or Winnick probably intended to use Lazarus Pitts.
Yeah.
Way, because
but it works. It works well, I think, for the movie, and I kind of wish that that's what they would have used in the comic.
Why didn't the comic? It's like the death of Superman. Why didn't the comic work out this way?
I liked Black Mask. I'm not really familiar with that character, but man,
What voice actor? I don't know who was playing him, but he was giving it a bit of all that.
Oh, yeah. Man. It was awesome. Just the total portrayal and everything.
The scene where he's like punching out of all of his lieutenants.
Yes.
And I was just waiting to see if he was going to punch that woman out that keeps challenging him. You know?
The writing for that was just brilliant, though. I just love the little sequence where he's like, perhaps I didn't make myself clear. When I said dead, I meant dead, head mounted on my wall. Awesome.
The Joker, while I didn't necessarily dig the voice, I thought the characterization was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It was creepy. It was a good balance of being really creepy and yet still had enough of that dark comedic humor to sort of pull it back and forth. So, yeah. I mean, the voice was okay. It was... Yeah.
The voice was a little too growly for me, you know. I love it when he laughed; it was pure Joker when he did the full on cackling. But when he was talking normally, I think it was just a little too overtly menacing instead of the subtle, perverted way the Joker is usually menacing. If you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like the Frank Joker, who's really menacing but very effeminate at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get like a different Joker, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's what I mean. Everybody who does Joker now just channels their best Mark Hamill.
They're channeling Cesar Romero, and you know, since Cesar Romero died, I mean, it's impossible to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he needed, a mustache.
Yeah, he needed him painted over.
I wasn't too big on Neil Patrick Harris in this either.
He was okay. He was. He was himself. I mean, it was, you know.
He wasn't himself. That was it. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody else make the complaint, but all I could hear when I heard him was somebody putting on a phony voice.
It was very forgettable.
He sounded like this. He sounded like he was puffing out his chest and putting on. He didn't sound like somebody sounding heroic. He sounded like somebody trying to sound heroic.
Well, you know.
It was a naturalistic performance. A very puffy out, just, okay, Batman.
You know, though, in kind of a meta way, that's to me how I see Nightwing, because especially when he's with Batman, because he wants to be Batman. That's just...
Yeah, but he's sitting with Alfred in front of the computer, sipping on the tea, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like Neil Patrick Harris, but...
It was forgettable. It wasn't as good as his Flash.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. So,
I see he's voicing Spider-Man in Shattered Dimensions as well.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I saw that. Which version's he doing?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the ultimate version is Josh Keaton from The Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, that's awesome!
So that's, you know, awesome. and 2099 is Dan Gilvezan from Amazing Friends, and Noir is Christopher Daniel Barnes from the 90s series.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Everyone is a previous Spidey. So if you cup your ear and listen softly, you can hear Reno Romano weeping in a corner.
Yeah. Part of mentions is that TFG1 Mike was talking about it during our live coverage yesterday. I'm like, man, that's really, really cool, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they announced Christopher Daniel Barnes for the Noir. It was the first one they announced, and I was like, that is pretty cool. But then when they announced that Dan Gilvezan was going to be 2099, I was like, wait a minute, I see what they're doing here. Completely awesome.
That's coming out soon, isn't it? It's like September?
Yeah, it's not too far off. So.
Wow, that's really quick.
So what do we think about the conclusion of this, of Under the Red Hood?
Endings are hard.
Yeah.
And, but I think with what they had to work with, I liked how it ended.
It had kind of, Mask of the Phantasm style ending, where, you know, everything goes boom, and you're kind of wondering where everyone is.
But, well, I wasn't even going about like that. I was going like with like the last shot, with the kind of like the hard cut in the middle of stuff, you know, with Robin. This is the best day of my life.
You know? Yeah. And
I thought it resolved itself well. In fact, it was the ending, the whole ending, which the gist of it is, without going too much into spoiler territory, Jason's big gripe is that the Joker is still around after all the crap that he's done.
That was the gripe in the comic, wasn't it?
It's the gripe in both. Yes. So yeah, that's
But there's like it was almost like the like that was the mystery for the film.
Yes.
Because of the nature of the way the film didn't make the identity an issue. That was the bum bum bum. Open the door. Pull back the curtain, and there's the Joker behind it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that works better in this than it did in the comic. I just liked it better. It's it crystal the thought. The idea crystallized itself in my brain better with the, you know, better.
I think it's when you see all those flashbacks play out in and around the story and the identity isn't a mystery. There's nothing distracting you from the simplicity of the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just wrapping up what we were saying. I'm sorry.
Just wanted to say one thing. One thing I really did like about this, I kind of... You know, it makes sense, but Jason Todd's skills as a fighter and as, I guess, an anti-hero, I guess you could say, are really top-notch. And it was that way in the comic, but I just don't think someone who spends 4 or 5 years as Robin is going to be someone who can go, for the most part, toe-to-toe with Batman. But
he's trained by Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Batman training him to be Batman.
Yeah, but Batman is the best of everybody, of everything possible over the course of 20 years, so...
And that's how Batman beats him, because Batman didn't tell him everything.
Yeah. You told me everything I know. Well, maybe, but I didn't teach you everything.
I didn't teach you this.
Well, not everything, everything. Mostly everything.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I would recommend everyone buy it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
pick it up.
Since, I don't know.
It's one of the better DC universes.
One of the best.
And the last one was still slightly better, though. Was it Crisis on Two Earths?
Yeah,
I don't know. Honestly, I think it's really up there.
It's good. The best, in my opinion, is Wonder Woman. Still, I think Wonder Woman.
I don't think we should rank it because I think like all of them have something good about them. I mean, really, there hasn't been one that I would say is awful, except for Gotham Knights.
Public
Gotham
Enemies.
Knights
is awful.
Public Enemies.
No, it's not awful.
I like Gotham Knights.
Sorry.
Okay.
Public Enemies is my thumbs down, but that's not the film's fault.
But the robot, the Batman Superman composite robot. Come on.
That was the Jeff Loeb idea that really never.
Yeah. Began. Come on.
He didn't animate it for him.
No.
Yeah.
That's the next one, though, isn't it? The next one is the next Batman Superman arc. The next one is the Supergirl one, isn't it?
Yeah. And news that it's confirmed Judas Contract.
Oh, they're finally doing that earlier.
They're killing it. It's gone.
Crap.
That's sad.
Well, they did the story already, really, but
kind of
a little bit.
So, actual comics came out this week.
What? When?
I know. it wasn't just Comic-Con. We actually had stuff. So, let's see. Let's take a quick poll real quick. I know Brian read Amazing, and I haven't read that.
I started Brightest Day, but I didn't finish it, actually.
Didn't finish Brightest Day. Okay, I have got Time Masters, Brightest Day, and Avengers. What do you have, Triplett?
I read Brightest Day, Amazing Spider-Man. I read Superman 701, Walking Dead 75, Avengers 3, New Avengers 2, and Batman Beyond number 2.
Okay. Let's save Avengers to the end. Clip that down to like 3.
Yeah, I'll pick my favorites of that.
Okay. And then what do you go ahead and go, McFeely, and then we'll go off of you then.
Want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead and start. We'll just save Avengers 3 to the end because I think we all That'll be the most.
Yep, well, I read Avengers 3. Let's see, what else did I read this week? Capsules, Tiny Titans, Always Brilliant, Joy in Your Life, Everybody Should. Not much point in giving it a full reveal except to, review, except to say that it's the big curly hair issue.
Okay.
Yes. What else this week? Ultimate Avengers 2, number 5. Actually not bad. After the... did you read this one, Triplett?
Which one?
Ultimate Avengers, number 5.
Oh, God, no. I'm not reading those anymore.
Okay, well, this one actually wasn't bad.
Okay.
There's a little bit more just stuff happens in it, basically. I'm still thinking I'm going to drop the series after this 6 issues is up, but this issue at least didn't make me feel like I completely wasted my time reading this Ultimate Ghost Rider story.
Which one is this? This ain't the Jeff Loeb. This is a...
No, this is the Mark Miller one.
Mark Miller, okay. All right, sorry. I get him confused.
It's basically Ultimate Vengeance got created to fight the Ultimate Ghost Rider, and they did, after a hilarious case of mistaken identity. Not bad, though. Marvel Zombies 5 hurt me in my sore places.
Oh.
Because it's as a retailer, it hurt me. Because this is the final issue of this minute. Marvel Zombies 5, number 5. And this has been the Machine Man, Howard the Duck team-up miniseries as they travel through the multiverse hunting down different types of zombie so they can isolate different strands of zombie virus and develop a master cure for zombism. And this particular issue takes them to a perfectly normal world, not unlike our own, in which a nerd contracts zombie-ness through germs on an old comic.
Oh, no.
But it starts with a quote from the Golden Age of Comics fandom, the book, the Golden Age of Comics fandom, in which it's explained, this is the whole hook of the issue, is in an earlier contact with DC, a youthful Roy Thomas had been informed that trading and selling old comics could not be officially sanctioned by the company, or it might spread disease. And that's the real-life hook that this issue takes to spread zombies. But zombies don't actually wind up spreading because this particular nerd... See, it's like this is probably what would happen in real life if the zombie plague dawned. Because before it fully takes a hold of him, he assesses his situation and tries to figure out how to deal with it and decides to maybe try using his powers for good. Stuff like that. But the reason it hurt me so bad is because I know this person. The issue starts with him going to his comic shop and bitching about all the comics that he buys. And his retailer asks him, "You come in here every week and do nothing but piss and moan about the books you buy. Have you thought about following comics you actually like?" And the guy replies, "Yes, I guess you have a point there, but I'm the stereotypical completist. I can't just give up the habit. And if I don't keep following them, how will I know when they stop sucking?" And then the retailer, I'm just going to, something new that he might actually like. And his response is just to toss his head and laugh as if I wasn't trying to do my job and just say, "Oh, you're like a pusher trying to up my dosage. Oh, no, no, no. I'm saving up $6,000 for a replica of Captain Kirk's chair. Fuck you!" Took away from Marvel Zombies 5, other readers will have had a different experience. Yes. Agents of Atlas also this week. I've already... I don't have any rage left in me this week. Agents of Atlas ends in 2 issues' time, and this issue is great as they track, as the agents and Triathlon try to track down these body-snatching 3-eyed aliens, which seem to have some connection to the cosmic shards that empower Triathlon, as seen during Busick's Avengers run. And the issue is split in 2. 2 stories for no extra cost. Well, 2 stories for no extra pages. But the origin of the human robot
included in the backup strip as well. Because Parker really redefined the origin of the human robot. The Golden Age strip in which the human robot appears doesn't count anymore. It's not what happened anymore. So I just thought it was really weird that they chose to reprint it in the Agents of Atlas, in the original Agents of Atlas miniseries graphic novel, whenever it was openly contradicted by the twist ending of that miniseries. But this is a much overdue explanation of how that altered take on the character's origin then proceeded to line up with what became of the character. I really, really like the human robot in Agents of Atlas, which is strange because he doesn't talk an awful lot. But there's always the sense with the human robot that there's something else going on behind that visor. And he's got awesome telescoping arms and he shoots lightning.
Well, yeah.
And death rays and force fields and stuff. And there's always the sense that the character knows more and is more intelligent than a lot of the things that he says or doesn't say or things that he does and doesn't do would let on that he is. And I'm going to miss Agents of Atlas. Yeah.
Do you need another moment?
To everybody know, I suppose. But
yeah.
You should buy the graphic novel when it comes out. And also previously mentioned was Age of Heroes number 3, which is primarily taken up by a story by Kelly Sue DeConnick about the agents of the Avengers, which is to say Maria Hill, Victoria Hand, and Sharon Carter having a meeting to sort of, you know, get that week's paperwork and resource sharing and everything between the Avengers teams sorted out, when a drunk absorbing man decides to attack Avengers Tower to get his ball and chain back. And it's just basically a little team-up story where the three of them have to fight him off with the Avengers off busy on a mission.
I'm surprised you didn't say he was absorbing alcohol.
Well, no, he just went out. but there's this great bit where he and some other drinking buddies that he's just met that night come out singing, you know, the Wild Rover, and they appear to be Irish based on their dialogue, you know, and they drunkenly say, "It's a tough break, lad. Your own wife going out on you with the Avengers of all peoples. She ain't worth your troubles." "Not my wife, you morons. They got my ball and chain."
Awesome.
But there's nothing to say. It's a clever story. It's funny. There's some moments of pretty cool badassitude from Sharon Carter. So it's the first. I think it might be the first thing I've read from this writer. And it makes me want to check out some more stuff of her. And I think I probably will check out that Osborne miniseries if she's going to write it. I mean, the other content of the issue, not so. This Kevin Grevu, Adam the Blue Marvel story is just like, meh, could not care less. And then there's essentially a two-page prologue to Fred Van Lent's upcoming Taskmaster miniseries, which everybody should read. I plan to be reading that one, so that was good. And then there's a one-page Squirrel Girl strip from Dan Slott in the back as well, where she beats Fin Fang Foom.
Well, yeah, because Squirrel Girl is the most powerful character in the Marvel
Universe. That's right, she is. She decides she's holding the West Coast Avengers back, so she decides to strike out on her own so they can succeed without her hogging all that pesky limelight. She loves Squirrel Girl.
God. Well, I mean, come on. She's beat Thanos. She's beat Deadpool. She's beat Doctor Doom.
She's actually beaten Doctor Doom, too, in a way that wasn't supposed to be a stupid comedy story playing off the fact that she beat Doctor Doom once.
Right. Squirrel Girl's amazing.
What else did I read? I read New Avengers. Who read New Avengers?
I did.
You read New Avengers? It was better than Avengers.
Oh, God, yeah.
God. I'll just go ahead and say right now that I had a very difficult choice to make this week. I knew I was going to get Brightest Day, and I knew I was going to get Vanishing Point, and I had one more comic I could afford. And it was like New Avengers or Avengers or Darkwing Duck or something else I was trying to choose between, and I ended up going with...
And you chose Darkwing Duck, didn't you?
I should have, because I got Avengers 3 and I got ripped off! So anyway,
New Avengers 2 is actually it's pretty good, but I would have gone with Darkwing Duck if I was limited to that choice.
I know.
I don't have that option. Thanks, Boom Studios.
Sorry.
I still haven't seen an issue of Darkwing Duck on newsstands. I don't think my comic shop's getting it.
It wouldn't surprise me if they weren't. You got to go in there and talk.
Now, my shop had it, but sorry.
I wouldn't have ordered it for anybody but myself if I could get it. So.
I'm sure it's awesome, and I'm sure other people are enjoying it, but I'm missing out, I guess.
Well, this issue of New Avengers 2 is pretty cool, as the mysterious demonic force that's looking for control of the Eye of Agamotto takes control of Luke Cage's body, and the Avengers battle him for the Eye, ranging from the mansion over to Central Park. And, that's really about it, you know.
Yeah. It's like a lot of great-looking Stuart Immonen art while they fight a giant Luke Cage. That's the issue.
God.
So good, though, isn't he?
It's beautiful. I mean, it's really good.
I love the way he draws the thing.
Yeah.
That's the best looking thing I've seen in anything, because Brian Hitch couldn't draw the thing. His thing face looked too weird. Stuart Immonen gets the thing. Oh, that panel.
It looks just like a classic looking design of him. I mean, just looks like the thing. And I like the little thing where Wolverine says, you know, Ben, take the eye out of Watto and run for it. He says, why? He says, because you're big and made of rocks.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a funny book. There's a lot of action going on. The art's gorgeous. The story's moving along, and it's interesting. You want to know what's going to happen. I mean, this is a good book. I mean, this is what an Avengers comic should be.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly a new Avengers comic. It is still the comic that exists because Brian Bendis just wants it to exist. It definitely has a distinct identity from the Avengers comic. It is doing its own thing. This is not the sort of story the Avengers would typically have dealt with. This is more of a what the West Coast Avengers would have dealt with.
Yes.
Magic story, you know. But, you know, it's an entertaining comic. You know, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Avengers fight possessed Luke Cage for Eye of Agamotto. Dr. Voodoo pops up and things go from bad to worse, basically, but it's funny dialogue. Spider-Man and Wolverine are always so funny together when Bendis writes them. Yeah. Nobody else can really get that quite right, but always laugh at Bendis. Sometimes Bendis' Spidey is a little too flippant, honestly. I don't think I would ever want Bendis to write Amazing Spidey.
Yeah, no.
He always writes a very good ensemble Spider-Man. And that's really pretty much all I have to say about it. Beautiful book, funny, got an identity from the Avengers. It's continuing on the themes and the general feel of New Avengers, of everything Bendis was doing on the book once the book found its identity. I don't know, you know, maybe you don't agree with me, but it's something I've always said, is that I really think New Avengers found its way post-Civil War. Because pre-Civil War, we were basically looking at the same problems as we're already looking at with Avengers. It just didn't work. Mm-hmm. Despite the attempts to throw them into Avengers-y situations, the team never really felt like it gelled. I always feel that post-Civil War, the book came into its own and really achieved its identity when it successfully accomplished the Heroes on the Run storyline. And I think it's pretty obvious. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that editorially, and the creators realized this as well, because the whole thrust of New Avengers, now that it's relaunched, is getting this team of heroes free of those shackles. It's exploring the fact that they don't have to fight in the shadows anymore. It's able to do these things and work now as an out in the open superhero team, because they came through that darkness to this point instead of just dropping them all together in the first place, the way New Avengers did in the first place, and it just not really working. It's a book that has grown into itself and is better than the other Avengers title.
Cool.
Says I, anyway. Says, I don't know.
Well, I...
I'll leave Brightest Day for someone else who has it, so that'll do for me for this week.
Okay, I'll go. And I'll take Brightest Day, but I'm going to do that after I talk about Time Masters. Vanishing Point. Did anybody else read this?
I have no idea what it is. What is Time Masters?
Well, this is a part of the search for Batman. Well, they're calling it Search for Batman. I thought they were calling it Search for Bruce Wayne, but I don't know. But it's going to be part of the Search for Batman / Bruce Wayne line.
This is essentially, if I can, I came up with this buzz phrase, so I want to use it.
Okay,
this
go ahead.
This is essentially Dan Juergens explaining what the hell, Grant Morrison.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough. What's nice is that it'll be a little bit more of an exploration of, it looks like, at least hopefully, of Rip Hunter. So, like, at the beginning, there's a nice little story of Rip as a kid and Booster's, you know, taking him out to see a Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know, and then Rip's talking about, you know, growing up and learning how to be a time traveler and how you have to travel sparsely so you don't, you know, seem like you're out of place and just, you know, not leaving a mark and whatever. And then having to explain time travel to Superman and Green Lantern, who just want to sort of go in and be heroic and do things, and Rip's like, nope, you gotta leave it alone. People dying of smallpox, they're gonna die. They're already dead in the future. It doesn't really matter. it does look like there's gonna be a bit of a mystery storyline in this, because Supernova appears, which previously had been Dan Carter, who is the ancestor, of course, of Booster. And he was known for sort of being a fuck-up. And whoever Supernova is right now, this person does not seem like a fuck-up. So...
I'm sorry, what? A mysterious masked man whose identity is in question in a comic starring Booster Gold?
I know. How could it...
Dan Juergens, you say?
It's very unexpected. Let me just say that. It does appear that Vanishing Point is gone, though. Now the thing is typically if it's a mystery character, it's like Booster from the future or, you know, something along that lines. But this particular Supernova makes reference to looking for Booster and Rip. So it's not them, or at least it wouldn't seem to be, and it has to be someone that is of the family line, because you have to be of that DNA track in order to wear the suit. So it may be just a new character they're introducing or something. Do what?
I forgot about the Supernova suit.
Yeah, I mean, so that's...
It's been so long since he did anything.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is because, I mean, the Supernova suit hasn't been used really since Final Crisis, and even at that time, I think the last we saw, like, well, Dan Carter still had it, and I think it popped up in Blackest Night, but for the most part, Dan was just using it to, like, play video games, because you don't have to eat or drink or sleep when you wear the suit, so he would just sit there and wear it.
So he's playing WoW is what he's doing.
He was playing, like console games. He was just using it to sit there and play, like, video games 24/7. And a few very minor time travel-y characters show up, ones I hadn't even heard of, Degaton and Despero.
Now, these guys were set up before. This is something that keeps coming back up. Per Degaton and Despero and someone else, but I can't remember who it was. It might have been when Booster's dad was wearing the Supernova costume. They were like, what were they called? Time? Did they call themselves Time Masters? They appeared in the when Geoff Johns was doing it. Mm-hmm. This little trio were set up and they appeared in Jones's booster. And I think – I want to say they were almost set up. I think they might have been set up in Jones's Justice Society even. But nothing ever really seemed to come of them. So I'm interested in seeing them again here now.
Well, and it looks like they're just trying to salvage tech. I mean, they show up in Arizona trying to steal stuff out of Rip's bunker, which they try to take the plant form. And, of course, Supernova shows up and stops that because Gold Star is there. But yeah, I don't know. Of which Gold Star even makes the comment of, like, you know, Dan, you really ought to let somebody that knows what they're doing handle
time
it.
Time Stealers, that's what they're called.
So, Time Sorry. Stealers, yeah. So, I don't know. Anyway, that'll appear. But basically, at the end of this, they sort of get stuck. Rip, Green Lantern, and Superman and Booster sort of get stuck in the past, and something goes amuck with Rip's portable time machine, and he's face to face with a barbarian of some sort. Is this a character? I don't know this character, I guess. Claw the Unconquered.
Is he going to be King Cole or King something or other?
Yeah, I don't know. It says next time, Claw the Unconquered.
So, Claw the Unconquered.
Yeah.
I'm Googling. Is that C Claw or K Claw?
C Claw.
Claw the Unconquered. First appeared in his own series, created by David Michelinie and Ernie Chan.
Huh.
There you go. I thought he was. Hang on, let me just check something. No. He's one of their barbarian type characters, one of their Conan style barbarian type. I thought he might have been something to Vandal Savage or that immortal guy who's like a cross between him and Vandal Savage, King Cole.
Yeah.
Not Cole.
So now if it's not bad enough that Batman's wandering through time, now Rip and Superman and Booster and Green Lantern are apparently stuck somewhere in time, so who knows? Anyway, it left me sort of semi. I mean, I guess it's sort of like okay, but it didn't give me a lot of idea of what the actual direction's going to be.
It did feel like it lacked direction. It was very much between the pages of Return of Bruce Wayne, rather than having an identity of its own.
Yeah, and so
Grant Morrison explains what Dan Jurgens explains what the robot in Vanishing Point is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the most worthwhile piece of information.
Yeah.
So you actually get information that helps Return of Bruce Wayne. It actually makes more sense of it instead of just like an alternate extra kind of story.
If you want to call a one sentence description extra information, then yes. Literally three lines between Booster and Rip explain what the robot is. So yeah, it's just an archive robot that Rip's using because he's got too much information at the Vanishing Point.
Okay,
so
then.
That's it. That is literally it. Now you know.
It's Bruce Wayne in the future.
Jurgens could have done a tweet and explained that. Instead, he did an entire issue of Time Masters. So, which, anyway, takes us to Brightest Day. And, yes, so this is Brightest Day 6. Wow. I actually really, really liked this issue more so, I think, than I've liked.
I wasn't going crazy then.
No, I think this is probably my favorite so far of Brightest Day. I felt like stuff happened. I felt like I was given enough. I felt like it teased enough of what's coming. It didn't give all the answers, and yet it answered some or made some things clear. So I actually really, really enjoyed this. So the few bits that you get out of this, I guess it's a semi-focus on Martian Manhunter, since he sort of bookends this issue. But there's a description of this rogue, weird, mutated Martian, which looks like
my white Martian theory wasn't right.
Nope, that pretty much got shot down. It looks like that
that John Jones is as smart as me because it's the first thing he checks.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's not a left field. So, I mean, that was good. You know, it wasn't like that was an odd guess. But it looks like this Martian is some sort of mutation, as though there's two entities.
One of them.
I'm sorry?
It seems like there's more than one.
Yeah, it's like there's two beings fused together. One of them clearly being a Martian, and the other, we're not so sure. That really loves taking the heads off of people. So, and it is a female. So that's interesting too. But and of course you have the same Brightest Day weirdness with Martian Manhunter, who's killing plants, but not animals. So if he gets near plants, they die, but not animals. He can touch squirrels. So.
Well, that's good.
I would say my favorite line or bubble out of a comic in the past year was in this. they're trying to figure out how to help a live man power his white ring, and Dove very keenly points out that well, the rings are powered by their particular emotional spectrum, and the white is about life. And she tries to get him to remember what, you know, motivated him in life. And the white ring calls out, he loved cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I want
it's
that.
It's great on the two levels, like, because it's great because it's funny. But it's also great because, hey, remember, dead man, he's a character, you know? He's not a alive man. He's actually, there's a guy here. It's not just some dude that's being ganked around by the ring to shift. To give us glimpses of things and move the story onward, there is a plot here, and they're remembering that there is a person here, a character who needs to be touched upon. And, I mean, ultimately, this was character. That was the thing that caught me by surprise by this issue, because generally speaking, the guys who take the starring roles here, Martian Manhunter, Firestorm, are the characters who, at the start of the series, I said to myself, these seem to be the stories I'm least interested in, which have progressively turned into the stories that I am more interested in. I have found the whole Hawk World thing pretty dang dull after ranking it as the one I was most interested in at the outset.
Yep.
And it wasn't even in this issue, was it?
No, not at all.
Good. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. So they make the whole comment about how the poor guy hasn't even eaten since he's, you know, come back to life.
Yeah.
But man, I want that on a t-shirt so bad.
The panel of him.
That'll be what's on his
gravestone
when he actually dies again. Boston brand.
He loved cheeseburgers. It's going to be on mine. Boston resurrects a Black Lantern.
Or
so that's
does he?
Or does he? I don't know. Yeah, there's some talk about that being about a hallucinant.
Just playing with him.
But he does sort of make a Dove construct. You know, and something I didn't mention, but John's mentioned that the white constructs are permanent. So if the White Lanterns make a white construct, they don't go away.
Well,
so take that for what you will.
Hasn't been seen yet.
Yeah. I mean, at least there's the hallucination of this Dove construct, but I don't know.
Well, the whole thing seems to be a hallucination because the female Hawk doesn't get raised at all.
Yeah.
The grave's not disturbed.
Nothing's disturbed. There had been some discussion, or we had talked about, when Adam looked at, because we're moving on here into the Firestorm story, when Adam looked at the Firestorm matrix, there were three elements, assuming that one was Jason, one was Ronnie, and then there was this sort of dead element, which appears...
See, I didn't even think of it like that. I didn't think it like one represented Jason and one represented Ronnie. I just looked at it and went, ooh, there's a black one there.
Mm-hmm. And that was the whole thing, is there was like the Firestorm piece, and then the two, you know, human elements of the mm-hmm. Matrix. And now it would seem that one of those elements is the Black Lantern element, because Ronnie can remember things that he did while he was the Black Lantern Firestorm, which no one else can. And it would seem to be the implication would be because the Black Lantern is still a part of the construct? I don't know, the Matrix? Because we see here the Black Lantern Firestorm sort of messing with Jason and making this entire crane turn into bubblegum, which is sadistic and weird. But anyway, so that adds an interesting element to that. So now they have to deal with not only, you know, their problems between each other, but now they also, somewhere in there is the Black Lantern. And Mira tells us things that we already knew. And with this entire story where Mira explains things that we had already figured out. So I'm not really sure. I guess that was for the really thick people that didn't discern that from the last issue. So I'm not even bothering with going into that. And more again of the discussion of Martian. Martian checks the white. Yeah, he checks the white Martian. There's nothing there. We see Oracle. But at the end of the issue, what is her lady?
Is it Miss Martian?
Miss Martian. Yeah.
Yeah.
If she's not dead, she's in really bad shape.
Man, I hope she's
hardly going to be dead. She's about to star in a cartoon.
That's what I was going to say. Because I like her character. I liked her from Teen Titans when Johns was doing it.
Yeah.
But I am kind of tired of pages of Brightest Day involving people getting battered and beaten and bloodied.
Yeah, that is happening a lot. So.
It's like, guys, it's in the title there. Brightest. Nice, shiny things.
Well, and that's the... But that's coming to be, you know, what we're understanding is brightest and happiest does not mean...
Yeah.
You know, it's like a discussion I had with Melissa yesterday because we were talking about the whole color spectrum. And she was like, because she's actually going back and reading Crisis on Infinite Earths now, because she's never actually read that. And she was like, well, yeah, I'm having to, like, help along the way. And she's like, and what's the thing? And I have to explain, but...
your head will hurt when you're done. I know. Trust me.
Well, she's like, well, Carol Ferris is a Star Sapphire, and aren't they bad? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, but don't they represent love? I'm like, well, they do now, yeah. And she's like, but isn't that? I'm like, but love is not always kind. So, you know, I mean, you would say the love of like a mother to her cubs will cause her to, you know, vacillate things. But, you know, so maybe that's the whole thing. Life isn't always happy and bright. I don't know. Anyway.
I'll take Marvel's heroic age over.
Yeah.
Women get beaten to bloody pulp in Brightest Day.
Yeah, well, there you go. okay, so Triplet. You have us boiled down to like three here.
Yeah, and I'm going to do them pretty quick so that we can kind of get wrapped up here, because I know we've been doing this for a while. But
it's a Comic-Con show.
Yeah, it's a big show.
The three I'm going to go with is Walking Dead 75. Anybody check it out?
Yep.
Did you? Okay. Yep. Well, basically it's just kind of still following the same story where the survivors, you know, Rick and his groups kind of found this community, and they think maybe they can stop running and they're going to be safe. And they're still, you know, he's kind of not, you know, kind of grooving with the whole not being in control. And he feels like, well, you know, we're not going to let this place just, you know, go bad. You know, like, we're not going to get kicked out of here. Or we're going to make sure that everything is under our control, meaning like Rick's group. And there's a little situation in it in which one of the people in this new community, the wife of like one of the community members. It looks like she's being abused, and Rick just wants to get involved. But pretty much the crux of the issue is that when he does get involved, he loses it. I mean, he goes crazy on the husband that is possibly abusing the wife, and he wants to just outright just kill this guy. It's like he's just completely lost touch with reality. And then you get like the big kind of cliffhanger ending, which, you know, I hate to spoil it, but, you know, we spoil comics here, right? We don't care.
Yeah.
But it kind of looks like his group's turned on him. So what's going to happen with Rick now? I mean, like, are they going to like toss him out of this community or what? I mean, it's a pretty good issue. I liked it. I enjoyed it, but the reason I bring this one up, not so much for that, but for the craziness that happens after that. Did you read it, McFeely?
I did, yes.
So, like, there's this extra panel, or this extra page that happens in which something happens to Rick, and he disappears, then he wakes up like he's just woken up from the coma back at the beginning of the series, except for now it's in color. And he's fighting aliens with dead characters that died in the comic, like several issues back, like probably maybe even like 25 or even maybe 50 issues back. And it's weird as hell. And you got like what's her name? Is it Michonne? Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I pronounce it, but I don't know if I'm right.
It's just got a lightsaber in the place of her samurai sword fighting the zombies. And then you find out that, oh, the zombies were just a precursor to an alien attack. What the hell is going on here?
I really don't know what this was about. You know, I got to the last page, and it was the letters page. And then I turned the page, and I was like, oh, brilliant, they're doing more already. And then it was like, oh, no, they're not.
It's like issue 75. Oh, wow, they're doing something big. It's in color. Wow, that's something different. And then it's like, what? They're fighting aliens. There's dead people, and Rick's got a superhero costume on and a robot hand. And it's just weird. And then, you know, you get, oh, it's just a joke. It ends. It says not to be continued. But yeah, it was just bizarre as can be.
Massive tease.
Yeah.
The first page of it is like.
But and also you get like the stills of the new series, which if we didn't really talk about it. Before about they had a trailer for the new Walking Dead TV series coming to AMC, and it's out there. They leaked it onto the internet, and I checked it out, and it looks pretty cool, and I like the actors. I think the actors look just like the characters. I'm from everything I've seen of this, this looks like it's going to be a pretty good series. So hopefully come October, Walking Dead will do well, and hopefully we'll have a Walking Dead TV show and a Walking Dead comic. But that's pretty much it. Just want to kind of talk about it. It's issue 75. It's a big milestone, and that just really weird as heck color part in the middle of it. But just wanted to move on to Amazing Spider-Man. Did anybody check out One Moment in Time, issue 638?
Yeah, didn't need.
What about you, JD?
No, like I said, that was the other one that I was waffling between, and I went with Avengers 3 instead. I hate myself. Did I mention that?
Okay. Well, I don't know how to rate it with Avengers number 3, because this is the first Amazing Spider-Man comic that I can honestly say that at the same time I was both disgusted with the issue and interested in the issue and wanted to keep reading. Because it's sort of like a new issue of Amazing Spider-Man, but it's also sort of like a reprint. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point of it is that, you know, this is supposed to be that to tell us what changed, you know, after, One More Day. You know, the ending of One More Day, that they made, you know, Peter and Mary Jane made the deal with Mephisto to change everything. And then we got the setup where, you know, now we're in Brand New Day, and Peter and Mary Jane never ended up together. Well, this kind of tells us how things changed and what transpired to make those changes. So they, what they do is they basically take – there's new art. There's new story intercut with – the Amazing Spider-Man, and I can't remember what number it was. Was it?
I think it was an annual, wasn't it?
It was Amazing Spider-Man annual number. Was it like 21, maybe, or something?
Sounds about right.
I can't remember. It probably says somewhere in this issue, but I don't see it. 21. Yeah, I'm right. There it is. And they basically take the pages from that issue where Peter Parker and Mary Jane got married. And intercut it with new story to show you how it changed. And it's kind of a neat idea, but it's not good. It's the problem. it's cool to go back and see like the old pages. It almost reads like the new pages are not as good as the old pages. and that's the sad thing, and it just doesn't. I don't know. I mean. This is the first time that I can say since Brand New Day started that I can say that this is probably the worst Amazing Spider-Man comic I've read since probably like that end of Straczynski's run. Because, you know, the end of his run got pretty bad. It was just not good comics. And honestly, I wish they could have just done this in one issue and this would be the issue and we'd be done with it and it'd be over. But I think this is what, just issue one of possibly four?
I think it's four.
Maybe three issues? Yeah.
You know, and one of the reason I didn't go with it is sort of that reason. I mean, even though I didn't read it, I wasn't very interested in this whole, you know, Brand New Day thing and the concept of it. And I don't know that critically it's been the best accepted. And I just sort of see this as... You know, I think we had gotten over it, or at least we had sort of started to get over it. You know, it's like, okay, enough time has gone by. We've reconciled, you know, that this is the world that we live in. And this is just Joe Quesada just sort of ripping the scab off.
Yeah.
And reminding you, by the way, remember how I screwed this up? And what's amazing to me is at the panel, it seemed like there was a question directed to Joe Quesada about, you know, well, you know, at what point did you realize that you had screwed this up? And he gave this sort of cryptic answer and basically somehow tried to twist it around to make it sound like he didn't, that this is actually good, that this is a good thing. And it's like, how? What? I don't know. So
Joey Q will never do one thing. He will never, ever admit when he fucks up.
No.
No. Uh-uh. I'm kind of scared of what the next issue is going to be. So, like, are we going to get, like, another sort of, you know, timeless Spider-Man comic that's, you know, everybody kind of, like, you know, remembers, intercut with new pages to see how things are different? You know, like, is that going to be every issue, you think? Or do you think they're just doing it with this one issue? Or
I'm wondering, is this like, just a one-off?
I would have to imagine. I mean, the change here is that Mephisto... stops. He just appears in the form of a bird and lets loose a little petty thief that Spider-Man caught at the start of the original annual story, and the butterfly effect kicks in, and yeah. It ultimately results in Spidey not being able to make the wedding. I don't really know that they can reprint anything for future issues now. I think it's probably going to have to be all original material after this.
What's kind of funny is about, like, the whole thing is, like, it started with Mary Jane going to visit him and them just kind of, like, having that much off-put talk, you know, talk that they keep trying to do, but things keep happening. Like, you know, Peter gets drunk at the wedding or, you know, something else happens. And then it's kind of funny that, like, at the end of the issue, she looks like she's kind of fed up with it. And I'm also kind of fed up with it at the same time on the last page. But yeah, it's not good. Not the worst comic I've ever read, but yeah, it's not. We always talk about how awesome Amazing Spider-Man is since Brand New Day started. Now is not the time to jump on. Maybe wait three issues, when like Dan Slott will probably come back and be writing an issue and then jump on, because I'm sure then we'll have some good stuff. But the last comic I just kind of wanted to chime in on, which I think it's worth talking about, would be Superman 701. Which, did you guys maybe have it? I know you didn't read it, JD.
Yeah. No,
I didn't.
Which, I didn't dislike it. I liked the book. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with it. It's just that when they announced that Straczynski was going to be doing Superman, this isn't, I guess, what I want him to do. You know, I kind of want Superman to be super, you know, instead of just kind of walking. Talking to people, solving these little problems. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's you know, kind of one of those stories that you feel like, haven't I read this like a million times over, and I've probably read a better version of this somewhere else. It's got that kind of feel to it.
So, So if is basically JMS's plan that Superman is going to be getting cats out of trees for like his entire run?
Well, he does more than that. I mean, like there's like these drug dealers in Philadelphia that, because this issue's Philadelphia, he's walking through there, and he can't do anything about it. You know, the cops won't come in. You know, he can't, you know, hurt them. He can't beat them up or anything. But so he resolves it by getting rid of them by burning their drugs with his heat vision. He just burns their drugs.
And he says, I'm gonna
come back every couple of weeks and I'm just gonna keep burning your drugs until you just leave.
It's gonna be a long walk back if you know.
Well, he'll probably just fly back. He's not flying.
Okay.
He'll keep walking, and when he gets to the point where like he checks his like, you know, Jimmy Olsen watch, Superman watch or something, that oh yeah, it's time for him, and he burned them drugs again. He'll like remember where he's at, and he'll fly back and he'll burn the drugs.
Fly over, and burn fly the back, drugs,
and fly back and like start walking from the same spot that he stopped.
Yeah, like have a little save point. Oh God.
But the one thing that I kind of wanted to just kind of rant about was the kind of like the end of the issue with you know, the lady on the ledge. You read it, McPhilly, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And just the question, because like she makes him promise that she says, I'm not going to talk to you unless you promise that if after we talk and I decide to jump that you don't do anything, you let me jump. And then I'm not, you know, going to say how the issue ends. I'm not going to, you know, finish it. But then you're left with the question: Superman always tells the truth. If he makes a promise, he'll keep the promise. If the lady jumps, would he let her jump? And that's kind of an interesting, you know, thing to kind of end the issue with. So you know, I like the issue. I'm going to keep getting it. It's not like it's so bad that, hey, I'm just going to drop Superman tomorrow. I mean, it's just that I wish Straczynski was doing more what I would like to see, a Superman story, and not just he's Superman, he's walking the earth, and he's just talking to people, you know?
Cats out of trees.
Yeah, cats out of trees. Not yet. But it was good. I'd say, you know, if you want to try something, you know, weird with Superman, pick it up. I don't think he'd be terribly disappointed with it, but he's not going to be fighting like Darkseid or something. You know?
I quite enjoyed it, personally. So, there's that.
Okay.
I don't know. Superman's been doing a lot of world-saving army smashing over with the whole new Krypton thing. And
I think really my issue is that we've gone like how many like what has it been like a year or something without Superman actually appearing in his comics, and when he comes back, he's not actually being Superman. He just walked the earth. But you know, I get what I mean.
Not feeling like an inappropriate story for the time and place that the character is in. I see why he's doing it. I don't know what you're saying. I know what you're saying about. We're saying this last time. This is Straczynski storytelling. Take an icon down a peg.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you can go to Action Comics and get Superman stories, because now it stars Lex Luthor, which is awesome. I'm not saying
well worth reading, too.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's very good. I'm just saying that
there seems to be more cosmic stuff happening over there.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe I need my daily fix of, like, Superman fighting Metallo, and I'm not going to get it in Superman while this is going on, I guess. Unless Metallo just happens to, like, jog with Superman while they're, like, walking on the road or something.
Yeah. It's like, hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
I want Superman versus Titano. I would be happy with that.
Yeah. Well, you're not getting it in Superman. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, Brian, I'm very sorry, but you missed the discussion of Spider-Man. So
that's okay.
Well, you can rein in. You can.
Say
something. But I'm done. That was the big ones. I mean, also read Batman Beyond number 2, which I kind of like, but I'm not going to get into too much detail about it. I'm not going to talk about it.
Well. That brings us to the waste of $4 that is Avengers 3.
Hey, the John Romita Jr. art, I think, is worth the price of admission. The story's not.
The art's pretty darn good, but I was underwhelmed, ultimately.
To say the least.
I mean, because, like, we're up to issue 3 and nothing's going on yet.
No. No. So far, the Avengers have fought Apocalypse.
And these are supposed to be the Avengers.
Yeah.
The Avengers know how to handle time travel shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dangerous juju to be messing with. But you just ring up Reed Richards, and you're in the 31st century in time for lunch.
No, they've got
to
have this.
It doesn't take you to issue 3 to be standing around wringing your hands over the sudden appearance of some X-Men characters that have no place in the fucking comic.
Yeah.
But no, they've got to have this alien guy. He's the one that has to fix it all.
Marvel.
Justification for this, I wouldn't mind, but it's like, why are we not ringing Reed Richards with his time portal built into the wall of his porta-potty?
Because he's too busy doing God knows what, and Fantastic Four right now.
Yeah.
Be teaching kids.
Teaching kids, yeah, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Reed, real quick, 5 minutes, lunch break, 31st century. Done.
You know, usually they just, like, go and, like, you know, break into, like, Doom's castle and use that time floor, don't they? Doesn't he still have that time floor?
That's what everybody does, though.
That's what Fantastic Four did.
In this bathroom.
But that would be too easy. How are they going to be able to allow Bendis to take time to make funny jokes?
The opening of Disney World for a birthday present because he has a time machine.
I did enjoy probably the only thing about the comic was the little, you know, Spider Woman and Spider Man just kind of hanging out while the rest of them are, like, talking shop.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know. It's like, and you handled that demonic version of yourself showing up pretty well. The what? The guy with the 6 arms. That was you from the future, right? Oh, my God. I didn't even see that. That was kind of funny.
Bendis' Spidey is always worth a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was good. So that was a good point.
I continue to wonder if Spidey and Wolverine are going to stay with this team after the first arc since they're off with Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to explain. It's a lot of time.
Well, not really.
I mean, well, no. I mean, Wolverine even said in New Avengers that he's on 3 teams.
But this issue is padding, plain and simple.
Well,
I don't even know what they're padding for.
Well,
because it's not like you have to have 6 issues for a trade paperback anymore. Yeah. Just make it 5 issues, you know. This is just, they fight some X-Men characters because, hey. And then maybe the plot will kick in next issue. But given that I don't care, spoilers, the last page involves Kill Raven and what might well be Devil Dinosaur popping up. It's
I'm
pretty sure that there's more important. No, Devil Dinosaur, wicked, freaking sweet, awesome, cool, awesome.
And then there's some tease about an old Tony Stark. And then we know that Galactus is coming down the road because they talked about that today.
Well, Old Stark is part of the next Avengers future. He's in the animated movie, but
right.
I mean, you know, the first issue had so much promise for this storyline, and they've spent two issues pissing about doing nothing. Yeah. Where was Wonder Man's attack all about? Where's the follow up to that?
None.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even in this issue. There's nothing.
An apocalypse
future
fight.
Wonder Man.
Apocalypse?
But...
what the fuck is Apocalypse doing in an Avengers comic?
Yeah, I said, you know, I'm going to give this Avengers one more shot. And I that was it. I am done. I cannot waste another $4 next month on this. And then it's going to be great. That's going to be
sure
the thing.
I'm sure it's going to pick up. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to pick up. I think that it's just getting somewhere.
So are you going to gamble $4 next month, Chris?
Oh, God, yeah, because you know why? Jeremy Renner Jr.'s drawing this book.
Yeah,
that's why.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I am not even going to bother. I'm done.
And because they know that this is the flagship Avengers title, obviously, so you know they're not going to just screw this into the ground and people forget about it. They're going to do something. Something good's going to happen.
I hope that something isn't.
We just
didn't
get it in this issue.
I'm not going to be reading about it. I can tell you that much. So
we'll just tell you about it.
Tell me about it because, you know what? I missed out on Darkwing Duck to read that. So you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. So, all right. Well, hey, that is our show. I want to make a few comments. First of all, I want to thank everybody that showed up yesterday that listened to our live show. Really made it an absolute huge success. We really appreciate everybody showing up for that. I think at any given time we had between 45 and 60 people listening.
Sweet.
I want to thank Rob. I want to thank Mike, TFG1 Mike from Geekcast for coming out and helping out with that.
Yeah, Mike was on all of it, wasn't he?
He was on the whole thing.
Yeah.
My God.
Him and
how long was the show?
I think
five
we went like
47 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was.
He's a trooper.
Right now. It was.
If
it was.
Epic. Actually, wants to listen. It's posted.
Yeah. So. Awesome. So. Yeah. So check that out. Want to take just a minute to say, you know, again, we thank everybody for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. If you've ever thought, hey, I really like listening to this show. We'd really appreciate it if you did one or more of a couple of things. One, of course, follow us on Twitter. That's really helpful. Check us out on Dig. TF Radio is on Dig. You can check us out there. We have a whole account set up. Friend us there, as well as friending us on Facebook. You know, like us, I guess, is what you want to do.
They like us.
You like us?
They really like us.
Click the one button, say that you like. But the thing that might take a little bit more effort, but we would really appreciate it, is if you would go to iTunes or your downloader of choice, if they have an option on there for a review, take a few seconds, leave a review, let them know what you think about us. We would really appreciate it. You know,
do it while you're listening to the show.
Yeah, do it while you listen to the show, at some point. But we would really appreciate that. And again, you know, of course, keep liking, keep commenting along at tfradio.net, the website, everything. You can always reply to us at the Twitter feed, too. I mean, we follow that and stuff as well. So if you ever have quick comments you want to leave, feel free to do it there as well. So that's
just
it.
Just let us know you're out there, folks.
Yeah, well, you listen, but you never know. You might have some friends or connections out there that might be interested in listening as well, and all they need is that little like or that little review. Someone may see that review and may say, hey, this is something we want to check out. So, but anyway, well, guys, anything else before we head out? I'll take that as a...
No.
Okay. So next week we'll be back. We'll probably have some more boiled down. Hopefully there'll be some video out from Comic-Con. There wasn't much this week, but hopefully
some
of that'll.
Well, I won't be here next week, guys.
No?
No, I know I don't mean to horrify and shock, but I'm away on vacation next week.
Is it auto assembly or is that later? Is it auto assembly?
No, auto assembly is 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away. Yes, it is. I'm just away on family vacation next week.
Oh. Awesome.
Oh, good cool. deal. We will try our best.
I maintain my high standards
to carry on without you.
Yeah, this is the most popular show yet.
So awesome. Well, thanks.
I doubt that.
Yeah, probably. all right. Well, again, thank you all, gentlemen, and please tune in next time when it will be Fanboy Versus.
This has been Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Ender, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely, and Brian Kilby. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.